This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Yeah, what would you like? I usually, my drink was give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink, the guys come in, I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
This jobs report, this economy, this is devastating, and it's not only devastating for the small businesses. I don't care who you are. If you're watching me right now, this is going to be devastating for you, and I'm going to explain why coming up next on I'm Right.
I know there's been a lot of discussion since Friday's report, that people are being paid to stay home rather than go to work. Well, we don't see much evidence of that. That is a major factor. We don't see that. Look, it's easy to say the line has been, because of the generous unemployment benefits, that it's a major factor in labor shortages.
What? Okay, obviously he was reading from the teleprompter and had no idea what he was saying. I'm sorry. Sometimes we have to laugh. What else am I supposed to do? That's the president of the United States of America. And I wasn't even playing that clip to laugh at him. I was just ready to watch it with you and then keep going. But he can't even talk.
They're saying it may be a major factor. He just can't keep his thoughts and it's embarrassing. All right, let's talk about the job support. For one, everything he just said, there's a lie. We're not seeing any evidence of that. This is an issue that a lot of people didn't think about for a long time. And I'll be frank with you. I know what you're saying to yourself right now. Jesse, I bet you did because you're smarter than everyone. And for the most part, that's true. But I didn't think about this either. Back when I was warning about all the problems with our coronavirus lockdowns. And I was out in front of a lot of that. But one thing that hit me was about a year ago. And some things in Texas were starting to loosen up a little. And one thing that I kept hearing from my buddies, I have some buddies that own businesses, you know, a little small shop, a restaurant, something like that. One thing I kept hearing from them was, I can't get anyone to come back to work. And this is at the peak where they're busy, the government's busy slaughtering jobs, right? So I'm saying to myself, wait, what? What do you mean they won't come back to work? People have to be dying to come back to work. And they said, oh, Jesse, no. You don't understand. Because of these extra things the government has done, almost all my people are now making more to stay at home. So I can't get anyone to come back. Yeah, I opened back up. I have a skeleton crew. Yeah, I opened back up, but I have no crew. It's all me now. I work everything. And it floored me. Of course it makes so much sense. Of course it makes so much sense. Now, you can say I wouldn't do it, and I hope you wouldn't do it. I hope you would realize not only the value of a hard day's work, but how much faster are you going to get promoted if you're the one who shows up when everyone else stays home and collects unemployment? But still, it is human nature. If I can make $500 a week staying home, eating Funyuns, and flipping through the television, or I can make $450 a week going to slave over a dishwasher in a restaurant, that's tough. That's tough. And so what do we have now? What we have is almost a year in, and we're still shelling out mass quantities of money to people who aren't working. And surprise, surprise, like every other welfare program, this has resulted in more people not working. And these things add up and add up and add up and add up. And what do we have now? We have a jobs report that's so bad, we have media headlines from some of the worst media companies out there blasting it. Look, even the left can't lie about this. Sorry, but today's jobs report sucked. Here's what you need to know. Even the New York Times, the jobs report, the boom that wasn't. CNN, of all places, it's practically the Chinese Communist Party's communication network, and this was theirs. Major disappointment. America added way fewer jobs than expected in April. It is really bad. Really, really bad. Did you know it? Right now, we have more job openings in the United States of America than at any point in the history of the country, and people aren't going. They're not going. The jobs report was so bad, this poor sap on NBC, or CNBC, I'm sorry, he thought it was a misprint when he read it on the air.
Sorry about that. It came across very quickly here. It looks like 266,000. It looks like it was a big disappointment at 266, but maybe I have that wrong. Let me double check the Bureau website here. 1 second. Yes, 266 is correct. Unemployment change, little change of 6.1%. So we have some issues here.
266,000.
Long-term unemployed.
Big revision.
Ouch. 260,000 people got jobs. There are 7.4 million openings. We are at a point in time now where we have spent mass quantities of money. I know there are all these insane theories out there about modern monetary theory, and you can print and spend, and none of it ever matters. I know that there are people out there, most people out there, the number's so big, the debt and the deficit were trillion, 2 trillion, 5 trillion, 20 trillion. It's so big, it became nothing because your mind can't comprehend it. I get that. You have to understand this. I don't care about your modern stupid money theories. I care about the history of the world. The history of the world says mass amounts of debt will ruin a nation. It can end a nation. We have not only, because of our stupid coronavirus lockdown stuff, we have not only lined up our economy and shot it in the back of the head. At the same time, we were spending more than we have ever spent before. We did two things at once. We shot the golden goose and we spent more gold than we've ever spent before. That is creating an unbalance that is at a point of danger. And so now where are we? We're at a point where we're in a dangerous point. I talk about it all the time. Warren Buffett is out there saying, we've got inflation coming. You guys know we have inflation coming, right? There's inflation coming. And so what do we need? We need this economic engine to get rolling again now. We don't even have time for, well, take your time. It's a slow start. Well, just get going. No, we need this thing moving. We need it moving fast now because we have to start generating some revenue to pay some of this off. And we can't get it moving. We can't get it moving like this. You can fall in love with the big box stores and the major corporations all you want. You know, that's what the stock market is now. It's sad. It's not what it used to be, but that's what the stock market is. It's like four companies. That's why the stock market has remained high. And you can get, the stock market's fine. Oh, that's fine. This big box store's fine. This major corporation's fine. Remember this. Half the U.S. economy was small businesses. Half. That doesn't just get replaced instantly. That doesn't get replaced at all. We're now moving slower than we've moved in years at a time. We need to be moving faster than we've moved in years. And what do we have out of the White House? What do we have? Well, look, you've heard me say this before. I don't apologize for it. I'm going to keep saying it. Not because I want to do the I told you so thing, but because I want people to learn and I want people to tell their relatives to wake up and learn. You, not you personally, but you, America, you woke up on election day and you walked to the polls and you said to yourself, well, we have the guy who created the best jobs boom in American history. Great foreign policy too. I love that. Yeah, all that was outstanding. Oh, he secured the border. That was nice. Man, but he's a jerk. I don't like his tweets. And then you looked down and you thought, well, there's this guy. I don't really like any of his plans and he clearly can't hold a thought in his head, but man, he's so nice on Twitter. His tweets are so nice. And America went to the polls and they checked the box for the second guy. And now, I mean, I'm devastated because I always want what's best for America. I think this is terrible, but honestly, I see clips like this of the president's response to a disastrous jobs report. And you know what I say to myself? I'm not mad at Joe Biden. I say to myself, hey, America, you get what you get. Don't throw a fit.
22 million people lost their jobs in this pandemic through no fault of their own. They lost their jobs to a virus and to a government that bungled its response to the crisis and failed to protect them. We still have 8 million fewer jobs than we did when the pandemic started. And for many of those folks, unemployment benefits are a lifeline.
That's not his fault. His solution going forward, what's his solution? America's hungry, our economy's stalling. Mr. President, tell us what's the plan? The last administration. And I do have to clarify something because I just heard this from Joe Biden and I hear this from people all over the place. I hear it from people on the left. I hear it from people on the right and it has to stop and it has to stop right now because it's driving me up the wall. Stop saying to me, the pandemic closed this, the pandemic closed that. The pandemic shut down our schools. The pandemic hurt our economy. Did you know the pandemic this is? The pandemic did that. Coronavirus didn't shut down a single business. Coronavirus did not stop a single school. Coronavirus didn't stop cancer screenings. Coronavirus didn't stop you from visiting your mom. The coronavirus restrictions, the coronavirus response is what did all that. And no, I won't do that thing because I'm not your mommy. I'm your daddy. I won't do that thing where I just make you feel better about you. Honey, you can be anything you want to be. I don't do it. I won't do it. No, we didn't have to do what we did. Nations in the history of mankind have taken different approaches when a new disease of any kind broke out. We chose to do what communist China did. Surprise, surprise, it slaughtered us. And I won't allow Americans now to use this comfy blankie that they use by telling themselves, well, we didn't really have any choice. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You had the choice to buck up and not panic and realize no matter what, people dying, even if it had been worse, people dying, people not dying, the show must go on. The economy keeps on moving or we all die. The pandemic didn't close a single thing. The pandemic response did. But no, I mean, it's no big deal, right? Surely, I mean, you just heard Joe Biden. He said, oh, we haven't seen any evidence of small businesses hurting for people because of unemployment benefits. I mean, yeah, it's just a small business owner saying it. What do they know?
Has it ever been this hard to hire people?
It's never been this hard to hire. And it's been such a surprise to us because you would think coming out of this pandemic would be, yahoo, let's go. And it's like the workforce evaporated.
We're putting ads, you know, on paper and on Facebook and online. It's just, you know, the government funding, you know, it's hard for people to want to come back to work.
We're seeing people just choosing not to come back to work because they're making more money staying at home.
Go hire people to retain them, but at the same time you're paying unemployment. It creates a conflict of interest, so to speak.
From the state and federal, you can make $675 for staying at home. If a guy that makes $14 or $15 an hour and actually have to work for that $15 an hour, why not just stay home and collect the same amount?
You mean the public outcry during coronavirus of somebody do something, prompting a government response of handing out checks? You mean that didn't work out in the end? I'm shocked. That normally works out great. Let this be a lesson for all of us. Somebody do something is not a response. And I have to tell you, I expect the Democrats to be scumbags. That's what they are. They're communists now. How many Republicans did you see? Because a lot of this coronavirus unemployment stuff happened under Republicans. How many Republicans did you see? How many did you see choose to be leaders during that? How many had the guts to step up to the microphone and say, no, we're not going to pass more unemployment. Open up the economy. We can't do that. You didn't see many, if any at all. Why? Because everybody wants to be the nice guy now. Everyone wants someone to go home and say how nice he is. He's so nice. He's a nice boy. He's a nice man. He's very nice. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more overrated in this world than nice. Nice is almost always code for useless and pathetic. Give me somebody effective. Give me effective. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up, or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE. Or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out. You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home. But just time means you're going to acquire smells. Whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
Now, we obviously have a lack of spine, to put it mildly, in our leadership. Mammoth Nation, they're out there trying to solve this problem. You want to know what you can do? You want to know what you can do to get effective leadership in there? Join Mammoth Nation. I did. That's how much it means to me. I became a lifetime member of Mammoth Nation. What does that do? Well, when you join, your money goes to those people running for office who have guts, who are going to fight for your Second Amendment. What do you get out of it? You save a pile of money. And I mean a pile of money on shopping, telehealth, wireless, hotels. I don't do anything anymore without checking my Mammoth Nation discounts first. Go to mammothnation.com/Jesse. That's mammothnation.com/Jesse. We'll be back. I want you to remember, as we have this thing coming up with Liz Cheney, she's going to get bounced from House leadership, and here's what you're going to see out there. And I'll give you all the details and statements in a second, but here's what you're going to see. You're going to see 9,000 headlines about this, about division in the GOP, the war for the GOP, GOP under siege. You're going to see a lot of very melodramatic stuff about it. Because the American media hates the GOP. The American media in general is simply the communication wing for the Democratic Party. And so they're always touting up some massive civil war. It's the end of the world. It's much ado about nothing. The Liz Cheney old way of doing things, even if that's your way, that's fine. That's the past now. The GOP has moved on past that. She is the old. She's going to get tossed either now or later. It is a party remaking itself, as the GOP has done several times, as the Democratic Party has done several times. What the GOP stands for today is not what the GOP will stand for 50 years from now. Slowly but surely, the party will remake itself. Liz Cheney's of the old way. Invade everywhere, stay everywhere, say things that make the DC press corps like you. That is the old way. That way is being thrown out of the GOP, and the old people are either getting retired or they're retiring on their own, and we have new, young people that see things differently coming in. We're going to have Ana Paulina Luna later on in the show, running for Congress, probably going to win. Young, pretty, fresh voice with guts. That's what the party's going to be now. So, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy put out a long statement on it. Here's what he had to say. Having heard from so many of you in recent days, it's clear that we need to make a change. As such, each day spent relitigating the past is one day less we have to seize the future. This is no time to take our eyes off the ball. If we are to succeed in stopping the radical Democrat agenda from destroying the country, these internal conflicts need to be resolved so as not to detract from the efforts of our collective team. We are a Big Ten party and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to read all of that, because then Trump went on to call for Liz Cheney's ouster, and he's calling for Elise Stefanik to take over in Liz Cheney's place. I have mixed emotions about Elise Stefanik. Elise Stefanik is the moderate's moderate. Now, we had our friend Nan Hayworth on the show the other day, and Nan Hayworth talked about, well, she has to reflect the values of her district. She's in a New York district, not exactly blood red. I get all that, and I don't have anything personal against Elise Stefanik. Maybe we'll have her on the show, but I don't think the future of the GOP has to be somebody that Donald Trump anoints. I mean, I'm fine with that, but the future of the GOP should be somebody with some guts, who's going to be bold enough to lead and fight for the things you and I believe in. That's what we need. But it is what it is. As far as this Never Trump wing goes, I want you to understand something. There's an entire industry around this. When you see these hardcore Never Trump Republicans like Adam Kinzinger, when you see them all over television trashing the GOP, trashing Donald Trump all the time, trashing now Kevin McCarthy. I want to play this for you, and then I'm going to tell you what you're really seeing, because people get confused about what they're seeing when they see Kinzinger do that stuff. I'll explain how this works after you get done watching him here.
It's interesting because I actually thought the person that should have their leadership challenge was Kevin McCarthy after January 6th, because that's why this all happened. And the Freedom Club and, you know, some of those folks went on offense against Liz, and it was probably a really brilliant strategic play because all of a sudden she's on the defense. And to her credit and to others' credit, I was considering, you know, having a vote of no confidence against Kevin. And our feeling was, no, let's move on. You know, we're going to vote to impeach the president. We need to move on. And then it was them that came back after Liz, not because Liz is any real threat to them, except to make them feel uncomfortable.
Okay, so what I get from that is, what I get from a lot of you is, I don't understand. Why is he doing this? Why is he saying this? Why is he doing this? You understand that in this business, the cable news pundit business, it's, you know, a job people like to have. Obviously, I'm the most blessed guy in the world to work for The First. I get to come on TV and run my mouth every single day. That's what I do for a living. It's a great job. I don't get why people complain about it. It's an awesome job. Adam Kinzinger is about to be bounced from Congress. He's probably going to lose his primary. What do you do in response to that? Well, there's no easier way to get a cable news pundit job in the world than by being the Republican who trashes Republicans. You see them all over these networks, the CNNs, the MSNBCs. Every single show, there's some token Republican out there because you want to make it look like he's, well, I'm just calling balls and strikes, but Republicans are definitely the Nazi antichrists. That's what he's doing. It's not more complicated than that. A year or two from now, Adam Kinzinger won't be in Congress. He'll be out. He'll take a nice little paycheck from CNN or MSNBC. By the way, Mr. Producer, go ahead and write this down so when he takes that job, I can come on here and say, I told you so. He's going to take a little cable news pundit job. And what's he going to do? Well, he's going to make a 10-year career out of going on these shows and being the Republican who never has anything nice to say about Republicans. It's not more complicated than that. You know, part of me, even though he's a scumbag, part of me respects the hustle.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
All right. Now, you know what I don't respect? Thieves. Freaking hate thieves. I understand I am a moralist, horrible sociopath. I get that. But I still hate thieves. I just can't, I can't wrap my mind around that mindset. Don't take it from me that home title theft is something wiping people out. Take it from the guy doing 25 years in the federal clink for it.
Nobody thinks that I can take their house and borrow against the house. Oh, no, I have title insurance for that. No, it's in my name, or he would have to get some special document. They would call me. You know, nobody's calling you. After I've stolen the title, borrowed against it, or sold the property, or done whatever I've done with it, it's 60 to 90 days to even figure out that they're the victim of this crime. You know, by that point, you start getting foreclosure notices, and you realize you've got four mortgages on your house. Not only that, you don't even own your home anymore. It's not even in your name.
Do you have any idea what a nightmare that is? If you don't get evicted, and people do get evicted from this all the time, if you don't get evicted, do you have any idea how much money you're going to spend on an attorney trying to get all that mess unwound? Tens of thousands of dollars. Or you could just go get Home Title Lock. And if you use the promo code radio, you get 30 days of it for free. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back. You know what I love? I love Republicans with teeth. And I love it that the Republican Party seems to be getting teeth. I saw this headline and I immediately thought, oh, we got to have Anna back on. House candidate suing FEC over inaction on complaint against Twitter, says blue check of value in campaigns. Yes, start suing these scumbags. Make them feel pain. Joining me now, Anna Paulina Luna. She just ran for Congress. Lord willing, she's going to win next time when she runs. Also, Air Force veteran. I'm not going to make fun of her for that at this point in time. Anna, thank you for actually having some teeth. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We were one of the few candidates, I think, across the country that was like, you know what, there's something that we can do with this. So I started compiling the evidence. And now I want to make it really clear that our case against Twitter is not anything to do with free speech and everything to do with campaign finance. And so we think that this is basically the Al Capone tax evasion case.
And I'm glad you're taking it to Twitter, too, because a story that really flew under the radar is post-Trump's election, the one where he won, the big tech companies got together. They were open about this. They got together and had this big meeting of the minds about how they can stop a big, scary person like that from ever getting elected again. And then I guess the jury's still out on whether they were the ones able to pull it off. But this is not freedom, Anna. This is some kind of corporate oligarchy that is not good for the country.
Exactly. In fact, a lot of people, I don't know if you ever saw it, but there was an article that Time Magazine had published talking about this cabal of corporations that came together to really collude in the 2020 election cycle. So I think what we saw in 2016 is that President Trump was one of the first candidates to ever use the power of social media in order to connect with voters, and he won the 2016 election by a landslide. And then we saw that happening again, gearing up towards 2020. And candidates like myself, you know, it's not just suppression for your everyday person. We're talking about directly interfering with candidates for Congress, whether it's Senate. These are campaigns. And so what happens is you have these corporations like Twitter that come in and they think that they can essentially suppress or elevate certain voices. And with the campaign finance law, with how it's written, is that you can't have corporations making these illegal contributions. And there is a value to the verification. In fact, when someone's verified on these different platforms, it actually also increases the engagement. It increases the visibility, and it can actually boost the reach of that person towards their audience. So whether you have 100,000 followers or 100 followers, if you have an over 50% engagement, that means that you're directly interacting with those people. And so we found out recently, saw Jack Dorsey actually auctioned off one of his tweets for charity. I think it was maybe like $2.5 million that they made off of that tweet, but there is value to it. And so we are going to bring the FEC this case and basically force them to get involved. They wanted to sit on it, like most of the GOP, who's controlled by these special interest groups. And we're not going to allow that to happen to our race, to anyone else's, or to the American people.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm staring at a headline here. Kevin McCarthy sets vote to recall Liz Cheney as GOP conference chair. Obviously, Liz Cheney's made a bunch of headlines, all the endless anti-Trump babble. It doesn't really matter. My point is, has always been with this Liz Cheney thing, the party is remaking itself. We're dumping the old spineless people who don't want to fight, and we're bringing in new blood, Lord willing, people such as yourself. I don't think this is a world-ending thing. I think it's the natural course of things when it comes to parties. Parties remake themselves. The GOP needed it, and that's what's happening. Or am I missing something?
No, you're 100% correct. It's interesting because after I lost my first election in November of last year, I actually received a message from someone that told me that I was on the wrong side of history and that if I ever aligned myself with President Trump or the American First ideologies, that I would never make it in Washington, D.C. And I actually argued, for one, that's completely wrong. What we're seeing right now is the only reason we're having such a strong push for different Republican candidates is because the American people realize that those in Washington, D.C., those special interests, bureaucrats that have no interest in really representing the American people. Instead, they want to represent corporations and essentially China, that's not the best fit for us, so that people like myself and other candidates around the country need to be elected in order to represent those American people. And you are seeing a rebranding, not just of the Republican Party, but I think also too nationally of the younger conservative generation taking over in this handover that's really taking place with the old guard and the new guard coming in. So I'm really hopeful to be a part of that. And actually, that's why I'm now a congressional candidate again.
And I do have to challenge you on something. Why do you want to go to D.C.? D.C. sucks. You're in Florida. You should be on a beach eating shrimp dip and drinking Mai Tais somewhere. Why do you want to go to D.C.?
Well, I do that sometimes, but I realize that, you know, the problem is, especially for the Hispanic American demographic, and a lot of people look at me sometimes, they assume that, you know, I might just be white, but I'm actually half Mexican. And so because of that, I realized that in 2020, the largest voting minority are Hispanic Americans, but that there's no one representing our communities at the national level. And because of that, you have the Democrat platform that's really targeting the largest voting minority in U.S. history. And then you have media in addition to that, whether it's Telemundo or Univision, that are absolutely brainwashing the Hispanic American demographic into thinking that Republicans and the conservative platform is a quote-unquote racist and xenophobic and anti-immigrant ideology. And we know that that's false. And so what I realized is, and of course, you know, I've been offered jobs in media, and the reason why I didn't do that, although I would have loved to, and I'm not ever closing that door, but the reason why I'm not doing that right now is I feel like that's putting the cart before the horse. And if you have someone like myself or others like me, like I know Catalina Lauf is running against Adam Kinzinger in Illinois, but people like us that can target and speak to our communities, that gives hope for people. That makes them realize that maybe they were lied to. And so I'm hoping to impact the national discussion, and that's why I'm running for office.
Yeah, and look, it helps. You mentioned Catalina. I've had her on my show a bunch. To be totally frank about it, I think it helps our party to have young, beautiful women running for it, too, because the Democrat Party is old and boring. And I think the Trump boat party's helped. I think we want to be the party of good-looking people who have fun on the water. I think that's important because I think the GOP has a bad reputation. Am I off base on that?
I mean, I think that the GOP has been wrongly branded by a lot of the propaganda that we see in the mainstream media into thinking that the GOP is nothing more than old white men, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just so much more than that. They're Black conservatives, there's Hispanic conservatives, there's young and older women, there's young and older men. And so I think that people like myself, you know, they look at me and they're like, oh, what is this chick doing? Is she, you know, in line at Starbucks in yoga pants and Ugg boots? That's the hardest thing. I'm like a political juggernaut. But, you know, bringing that, I think the breaking the stereotypes is exactly what we're hoping to do. And we are. And that's exactly what I think the Democrats are fearful of. And so that's why they try to call myself or people like Catalina, they try to, you know, say that sometimes I've seen Catalina be called bimbo, or they try to actually be very condescending to us because of the fact that, you know, we're not exactly ugly. And so that's something that we are fighting. And it's kind of interesting because you would think that, especially as Democrats, them being so progressive and open, that they would embrace that, but they don't. It's the exact opposite.
Well, maybe if you shave off all your hair, they'll be more accepting. All right. I had a long talk about this on my radio show the other day about why Mexican food is so much superior to Cuban food. And I got a lot of Cuban pushback. Anna, you're half Mexican. You have the floor. I give it to you.
So I can tell you one thing. If there's one thing Cubans know how to do, it's throw down in the kitchen when it comes to coffee. But do not ever, 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 ever try to bet that you can make a better taco than Mexican. So carne asada, that's my main dish. I make it at home. My mom makes enchiladas. We make, you know, everything. So I'd have to say that in general, obviously, I'm biased towards Mexican food.
Clearly, me too. What's the worst thing about running for office? A long time ago, I ran for Congress twice. And I'll tell you, I didn't mind the shaking hands, kissing babies, doing events, all that stuff. That was fun. I hated asking people for money. It made me feel gross every time I did it. What don't you like about it?
That's actually one of my least favorite things to do, is calling people and saying, hey, look, I need to get elected to office. Please donate, which I'm going to make a shameful pitch. Please donate APL.com. or voteapl.com. You can donate to me there. But I have to say that the worst thing that I experienced was when I was in my primary against other Republicans. So you always expect, you know, the lying tactics and the smear tactics to come out from the Democrats, because we see it. It's happened to Kavanaugh. It's happening to many people that are threats to what the Democrat ideology is, right? But the one thing I never expected was to receive it from people that were supposed to be on my side. And I do think that if you're running a congressional campaign, you can definitely take the higher road. You don't have to kind of engage in the mudslinging. But I had, you know, this one woman that I ran against actually that said that I was making up the fact that I was Hispanic. And then she also put my husband's last name. Mind you, my husband is still in the military, so she put his last name on a flyer that she sent to over 700,000 people in the district, which is a security issue. So that, to me, it made me very uncomfortable, but I realized that that's kind of part of it, and that I'm fighting for what I believe in, and people obviously saw the truth because they elected me, so.
All right. Go make it happen, Anna. I appreciate you. APL.com, I appreciate you. Go get them.
Thank you.
There you go. GOP needs to get younger, needs to get a spine. I like it. That's what we need. We don't need any more Liz Cheney's. Appreciate it. Now, what do you need? You need to protect yourself. We've talked about this before. I don't dance around it. I understand that if you're watching me, there's a good chance you didn't even grow up around guns. And if you didn't grow up around them, they're intimidating. You look at the thing, you think it's going to go off and start killing people. You need to start learning how to use a weapon. You need to learn to use it safely first. Then you need to learn to be fast and deadly with it. And then you need something from Northwest Retention Systems. That's the only place to get your gear. That's the only place to get your holster, because that's custom made. Not some gigantic box store that prints them in bulk. Custom made gear, and really cool gear too. They have 1776 holsters. They have Donald Trump holsters. They have join or die flag holsters that may or may not be my personal preference. But Northwest Retention Systems is quality, custom gear, American made, that won't fail you when you need it most. Go to nwretention.com. Use the promo code Jesse at checkout for 10% off. We'll be back. I want you to remember, as we have this thing coming up with Liz Cheney, she's going to get bounced from House leadership, and here's what you're going to see out there. And I'll give you all the details and statements in a second, but here's what you're going to see. You're going to see 9,000 headlines about this, about division in the GOP, the war for the GOP, GOP under siege. You're going to see a lot of very melodramatic stuff about it. Because the American media hates the GOP. The American media in general is simply the communication wing for the Democratic Party. And so they're always touting up some massive civil war. It's the end of the world. It's much ado about nothing. The Liz Cheney old way of doing things, even if that's your way, that's fine. That's the past now. The GOP has moved on past that. She is the old. She's going to get tossed either now or later. It is a party remaking itself, as the GOP has done several times, as the Democratic Party has done several times. What the GOP stands for today is not what the GOP will stand for 50 years from now. Slowly but surely, the party will remake itself. Liz Cheney's of the old way. Invade everywhere, stay everywhere, say things that make the DC press corps like you. That is the old way. That way is being thrown out of the GOP, and the old people are either getting retired or they're retiring on their own, and we have new, young people that see things differently coming in. We're going to have Ana Paulina Luna later on in the show, running for Congress, probably going to win. Young, pretty, fresh voice with guts. That's what the party's going to be now. So, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy put out a long statement on it. Here's what he had to say. Having heard from so many of you in recent days, it's clear that we need to make a change. As such, each day spent relitigating the past is one day less we have to seize the future. This is no time to take our eyes off the ball. If we are to succeed in stopping the radical Democrat agenda from destroying the country, these internal conflicts need to be resolved so as not to detract from the efforts of our collective team. We are a Big Ten party and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to read all of that, because then Trump went on to call for Liz Cheney's ouster, and he's calling for Elise Stefanik to take over in Liz Cheney's place. I have mixed emotions about Elise Stefanik. Elise Stefanik is the moderate's moderate. Now, we had our friend Nan Hayworth on the show the other day, and Nan Hayworth talked about, well, she has to reflect the values of her district. She's in a New York district, not exactly blood red. I get all that, and I don't have anything personal against Elise Stefanik. Maybe we'll have her on the show, but I don't think the future of the GOP has to be somebody that Donald Trump anoints. I mean, I'm fine with that, but the future of the GOP should be somebody with some guts, who's going to be bold enough to lead and fight for the things you and I believe in. That's what we need. But it is what it is. As far as this Never Trump wing goes, I want you to understand something. There's an entire industry around this. When you see these hardcore Never Trump Republicans like Adam Kinzinger, when you see them all over television trashing the GOP, trashing Donald Trump all the time, trashing now Kevin McCarthy. I want to play this for you, and then I'm going to tell you what you're really seeing, because people get confused about what they're seeing when they see Kinzinger do that stuff. I'll explain how this works after you get done watching him here.
Look, it's interesting because I actually thought the person that should have their leadership challenge was Kevin McCarthy after January 6th, because that's why this all happened. And the Freedom Club and, you know, some of those folks went on offense against Liz. And it was probably a really brilliant strategic play, because all of a sudden she's on the defense. And to her credit and to others' credit, I was considering, you know, having a vote of no confidence against Kevin. And our feeling was, no, let's move on. You know, we're going to vote to impeach the president. We need to move on. And then it was them that came back after Liz, not because Liz is any real threat to them, except to make them feel uncomfortable.
Okay, so what I get from that is, what I get from a lot of you is, I don't understand. Why is he doing this? Why is he saying this? Why is he doing this? You understand that in this business, the cable news pundit business, it's, you know, a job people like to have. Obviously, I'm the most blessed guy in the world to work for the First. I get to come on TV and run my mouth every single day. That's what I do for a living. It's a great job. I don't get why people complain about it. It's an awesome job. Adam Kinzinger is about to be bounced from Congress. He's probably going to lose his primary. What do you do in response to that? Well, there's no easier way to get a cable news pundit job in the world than by being the Republican who trashes Republicans. You see them all over these networks, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, every single show. There's some token Republican out there, because you want to make it look like he's, well, I'm just calling balls and strikes, but Republicans are definitely the Nazi antichrists. That's what he's doing. It's not more complicated than that. A year or two from now, Adam Kinzinger won't be in Congress. He'll be out. He'll take a nice little paycheck from CNN or MSNBC. By the way, Mr. Producer, go ahead and write this down so when he takes that job, I can come on here and say I told you so. He's going to take a little cable news pundit job. And what's he going to do? Well, he's going to make a 10-year career out of going on these shows and being the Republican who never has anything nice to say about Republicans. It's not more complicated than that. You know, part of me, even though he's a scumbag, part of me respects the hustle. All right. Now, you know what I don't respect? Thieves. Freaking hate thieves. I understand I am a moralist, horrible sociopath. I get that. But I still hate thieves. I just can't, I can't wrap my mind around that mindset. Don't take it from me that home title theft is something wiping people out. Take it from the guy doing 25 years in the federal clink for it.
Nobody thinks that I can take their house and borrow against the house. Oh, no, I have title insurance for that. No, it's in my name, or he would have to get some special document. They would call me. You know, nobody's calling you. After I've stolen the title, borrowed against it, or sold the property, or done whatever I've done with it, it's 60 to 90 days to even figure out that they're the victim of this crime. You know, by that point, you start getting foreclosure notices, and you realize you've got four mortgages on your house. Not only that, you don't even own your home anymore. It's not even in your name.
Do you have any idea what a nightmare that is? If you don't get evicted, and people do get evicted from this all the time, if you don't get evicted, Do you have any idea how much money you're going to spend on an attorney trying to get all that mess unwound? Tens of thousands of dollars. Or you could just go get Home Title Lock. And if you use the promo code radio, you get 30 days of it for free. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back. We use the term hero a lot. I know you probably use that term when you think about me. Or pioneer or something like that. And that's it's really been abused, but man, sometimes you see something on the internet and whew, you just know this person's a legend.
Oh my gosh. Holy cow. That's just right on the countertop.
Yep, all my friends are coming over.
Holy smokes.
This is the easiest way to make spaghetti for a crowd. And it's fun. It's all just right in front of you. You don't have to worry about dishes or a mess or anything like that.
It's on your countertop.
Yeah, this is how it works.
But it's all over your counter.
And then the next step is you need a meatballs.
Meatballs.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. So cheese. That's Parmesan cheese?
Yep. You just go in a straight line.
Yeah.
And then you take your noodles.
Oh my gosh.
And you just dump it.
Yep.
And now,
what do we do?
Well, you gotta mix it up, girl.
Okay, let's mix it up.
So, take...
You just fold it in.
Yep, just fold it in.
Fold
just
it
like
in.
That.
This is right in.
Yeah, how delicious is this look?
It looks so good.
How about that? While we were watching that, I sent a text to the wife saying we should try this tonight. I haven't heard back yet. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe my phone is broken. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.